WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Just a heads up, be careful. Be careful. There are a lot of deers running around. It is that time of year. I do remember leaving the house this afternoon. Woman Fritz said, be careful. And I said, thanks, I will. And I was. I did not hit that deer. That deer did not hit me. But apparently it's mating season for the deers. And I guess the buck is going in one direction and chasing after the doe. I don't know how that goes. But at any rate, it's mating season. And so, you know, one's chasing the other and the other wants to be chased. And, you know, I don't want to get into deer pong. I do want to say, be careful, because you know how it is when you're chasing a woman. Sometimes you're not looking as you cross the street, and so be careful. Welcome to Tuesday, October 28th. I'm Brian, and this is Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. On this 28th day of October, that means, let's see, less than half today left, so let's say 29, 30, 3 days till Halloween-y. It is Separation of Church and State Day. And when I first was putting the different things about today, I wasn't even going to mention this one. But then I thought, since it is a part, not the same verbiage, but a part of our First Amendment, what do you think the United States of America would be like if there wasn't a separation of church and state? Church and state-run schools, for instance. It is also Statue of Liberty Dedication Day. In fact, it happened on this date in 1886. President Cleveland dedicated the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. The statue was originally called Liberty Enlightening the World. And despite a presidential veto, Congress passed the Volstead Act, which you may or may not know led to alcohol prohibition. And we've seen plenty of gangster movies to know how well that worked. From 1920 to what, 1933? 1931. One of the two. Either way, what a mess. How many people died? How much alcohol wasted? Because we had prohibition. You know, there were people that made money. There were people that made money running booze. And I hear, not to really point a finger, but I am pointing a finger when I hear the Kennedys were big into running liquor way back a when. Made quite a bit of money doing so, from what I understand. And it just goes to show you, you can outlaw alcohol, you can outlaw drugs, but if people want it, they're going to get it, and there will always be people willing to get it for them. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: when and if fascism comes to America, it will not be labeled made in Germany. It will not be marked with the swastika. It will not even be called fascism. it will be called, of course, Americanism. When and if fascism comes to America, it will not be labeled made in Germany. It will not be marked with the swastika. It will not even be called fascism. It will be called, of course, Americanism. Halford Lukoc. What a name. Lukoc. L-U-C-C-O-C-K. Don't know much about him. I hear he was a minister. Never really thought much about fascism coming to America. I always figured it was here just waiting for the opportunity to present itself. And maybe it has. Who knows? All right, 508-996-0500. I'm going to go back to where I was at the beginning of the show, talking about the deer. Apparently, you know, I brought this part up already. It is deer mating season. And we have a lot of deer running around the area. And there's actually a story, I think, in today's Substandard dealing with crashes related to deers, like automobile, you know, deer, and automobiles, and how to avoid them. Whew, don't drive at this time of night. And one of the things about the story that I think is very, very true, deer seem to run at night, sometimes at dusk. And in about a week and a half thereabouts, it is going to be getting darker sooner as we turn the clocks back an hour. And so you really do have to be careful, because these deers really run around and they make no bones about the fact that they love this area. What do I mean? Freetown, Rehoboth, Dartmouth, Mattapoisett. They each have 15 or 16 deer-related crashes dating back to last year, a particular period of time, October through December. We're at the tail end of October right now, and as I said, when those clocks go back, more crashes happen. Wareham, same period of time last year, 17 crashes. Middleborough, 19 crashes. These are deer running out into the street. I don't think they're cars veering off the road looking for deer and looking to crack into them. Plymouth, 22 accidents between October and December of last year. Number one on the list. I guess I really shouldn't be surprised. Westport. Westport had 43 deer-related crashes last year between October and December. 43. Man. In a 3-month period. Let's see. Southeastern Massachusetts is the state's biggest hotspot for deer related crashes. Bristol and Plymouth County each reported 229 deer crashes from October to December of 2024. 229. Wow. Between October and December of last year, there were 1,569 deer crashes statewide. And they say in this article, according to the MassDOT Impact Crash Data Portal, did not know that there was even such a beast. That 1,569 deer crashes is equivalent to one out of every 84 minutes during that three-month period. Wow. And it's my understanding that deer do not have peripheral vision, so you might be thinking, yeah, they're running out into the street, but they must be able to see me out of the corner of their eye. They cannot. So whether they're going fast or just come to a halt, if you are coming up left or right of them, they don't see you. So you got to be careful. Look, I know people that have been in deer car-related crashes. I've mentioned before I had a college roommate who was driving down Route 8 and a bear came out and struck the car. So, you know, this stuff really happens. And 43, which makes me wonder if it was 43 last year through the month of October, how many crashes have there been this year in Westport? So again, I just like to say, be careful, because, you know, how many times do you drive down the street and there's a little deer and you're saying, oh, isn't that nice? Well, usually if there's one, there's at least one more, whether it's brother, sister, husband, wife, somebody chasing the other, the kids. There's usually more than one. So you just be careful. Look, I don't think anybody listening is taking target practice with the deer, but the deer doesn't know that. So be careful. All right. Story that we have been on since probably last Thursday or Friday. And it deals with this whole thing dealing with SNAP. I got an email from someone earlier today. And here it is. Just going to go this way because I did not print this one out. I signed up for SNAP recently via the Mass Health app and have an appointment today. I'm almost certain that I'll be approved, but I'm kind of worried that even if I do get approved, I'm going to get, and there's the F word, by the shutdown. Has anyone else had an appointment in the past few days? It's amazing if there's a shutdown. Well, I guess there's no shutdown in Massachusetts, but I don't know how the federal government could even be approving somebody at this particular time. There's more. Somebody sent this to me. President Trump is currently choosing not to issue November SNAP benefits that help you and many families put food on the table. You may also have your benefits further cut starting in November because of changes congressional Republicans and President Trump enacted in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Then it shows you how you can check back for updates or text out of these messages. Thank you for sending that. In fact, I believe someone called the show last evening to tell me that these notices were coming out. Andrea Campbell, our friendly neighbor who happens to be the Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, she, along with half the other states, have filed another lawsuit against the Trump administration, this one over the SNAP benefit suspension. And the lawsuit was filed in Boston. So, and I think when you have several states involved here and the attorneys general from these states, they try to decide what state is going to be the best for an early outcome. Because if I read this correctly, not only are they suing the Trump administration for the benefits to be released for November, there is also an injunction to force the hand at this particular time before the courts can rule any further. And according to the press release from Andrea Campbell's office, more than 1 million people in Massachusetts rely on SNAP to put food on the table. That line sounds very familiar, almost as if it came from that other message that came out. Despite having the money to fund SNAP, the Trump administration is creating needless fear, angst, and harm for millions of families and their children, especially as we approach the holidays. It is past time for the Trump administration to act to help rather than harm those who rely on our government. Well, that's all nice, Attorney General Campbell. But I've got to ask you, are you sending any type of notice to Bacon Hill lawmakers, to Governor Healey? Because here in the Commonwealth, we've got $8 billion just sitting there collecting interest. And if we need an infusion of $240 million out of the $8 billion that's sitting there, use that money. Drop a lawsuit on the governor and say, hey, we need to use this money. We can't rely on the federal government. As I always like to say, if the government can giveth, the government can taketh away. And as the message earlier today, I think it came from the Department of Transitional Assistance, as that message properly stated, even if the benefits were to come back, the SNAP benefits that are curtailed at this particular time, it doesn't mean that you're not going to see cuts in the very near future because of the big, beautiful bill. So as I say, if the government can giveth, the government can taketh away. And so what are you going to do? I was talking earlier today with the president of the New Bedford chapter of the NAACP. And I asked Renee Ledbetter, so are you guys trying to do any kind of food drives or whatever? And at this particular time, she doesn't know, but she agreed with me. She said the state has money. And instead of trying to get the federal government, a different party, to act, why not have the folks right here act? And then she said, what about the local delegation? Again, I'm not a big SNAP fan or food stamp fan, but I have to agree with her. If you're going down this particular road, if you're looking for the money, you got the money right here. Take care of your people. That's what Senator Montigny, Senator Rodericks, by the way, Senator Rodericks was pretty adamant the other day about the fact that state government should not have to dip into the rainy day fund to make sure that people in his own state have food on the table, as they like to say. So I see the tit for tat. I've been saying this all along. They're playing political football, political chess. Which one's going to say uncle first? I don't know what the people are thinking as we approach November of 2026. I'm stuck right here thinking about what's going to happen in November of 2025. But there are people, you know, most of us, we don't worry about SNAP. But as Renee Ledbetter stated to me in it, you know, at first I was kind of pushing it off. But she might be absolutely correct, and you can certainly let me know how you feel about this statement. She goes, if people go hungry for a week or two, you never know what they're going to do. And I said, like what? You know, well, they might start robbing stores. They might jack up people, take their groceries. Now, I'd like to believe that folks here in the Commonwealth won't do that. But you know, and I know, parents with children, especially children that are hungry, they're going to try to do the best for their family. And if they've got a starving kid, a baby with no formula, you know, and what's going to happen in court? What do you think is going to happen in court? You know how these courts work in the first place. In this particular case, I can see the defense attorney standing up there with the defendant. And the defendant, you know, she was trying to feed her family, Your Honor. Benefits were cut off by the state. She knows it was bad to steal the food, but... And you know what will probably happen? She'll be found guilty. She'll be found guilty. Or he will be found guilty. But it's not going to be jail time unless somebody was hurt in the process, injured, killed. But if you're stealing food out of the grocery store, that's going to be a big slap on the hand. If you went in and took a few items out of 7-Eleven, and what's the clerk at 7-Eleven supposed to do? This is not looking good at all. So we have Attorney General Andrea Campbell, along with, and I'm going to read the list here because it is a lengthy list, but as I look at it, Campbell, attorneys general from Massachusetts, Arizona, California, Minnesota. So let's see, I've got one red state, three blue states. Then we continue, Colorado. I think Colorado went red, Connecticut, blue, Delaware, blue, District of Columbia, blue, Hawaii, blue, Illinois, purple, Maine, blue, Maryland, blue, Michigan, red, Minnesota, blue, Nevada, red, New Jersey, blue, New Mexico. I think New Mexico went red, but I'm going to call that one a purple. New York, blue. North Carolina, red. Oregon, blue. Rhode Island, blue. Vermont, blue. Washington State, blue. Wisconsin, red. Kansas, red. Kentucky, red. Pennsylvania, red. I read them off like that there. I think it's overwhelmingly blue. However, there are enough states. There are enough states here to turn the House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate to Democrat in 2026. Who knows how long this lingers? Who knows what might be a hot button issue come the November 2026 election? But this is a pretty hot topic right now. This and the fact that I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw Marco Rubio, Phil Graham, and a few others posturing and basically making a statement on, I think it was on CBS, Face the Nation, and what's the other one there? Maybe 60 Minutes with this Barry Weiss. I'm going to say put a big question mark next to her. But at any rate, the report that she was doing, if get a chance to check out Barry Weiss, that's B-A-R-I, last name W-E-I-S-S, talking about Venezuela. And everybody that she talked to was pro, we're gonna overthrow the government there. That's what's happening. Phil Graham made a statement, Senator Graham, that Maduro should figure out how to get out of there as quickly as possible. Rick Scott, a senator from Florida, pretty much the same thing. And there was another, I can't think of the other congressperson who echoed it, a person who used to be in the Foreign Service representing the United States in Venezuela, pretty much echoed the same thing. And there's a report that within 100 hours, we can successfully pull off a coup in Venezuela. 100 hours. Is that what you want? I know it's not what I want. And apparently, and I'm going to try to do some follow-up on this. We talked the other day, you know, if it's not drugs, what is it that's driving the U.S. to want to overthrow Maduro? And apparently, the woman that just won the Nobel Peace Prize, guess who is slated to be the next leader of Venezuela? Yep, her. So I wonder how President Trump feels about that. Well, it's okay, I guess, you know. You can take partial credit. You didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize, but the person who wins the Nobel Peace Prize ends up running Venezuela after a coup. What's wrong with that picture? Man, oh, Manischewitz. 508-996-0500 is how you get onto the program this afternoon / evening.
The supply chain is not part of the economy. The supply chain is the economy.
This is WBSM.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
As of the end of next week, SNAP benefits are going to be frozen. They go away.
I hope we don't have that MASH theme playing again because of something going on down in the Caribbean besides Hurricane Melissa, which is still churning up. I think it's probably a category 4 right now. Don't quote me on that. I know it's supposed to be downgrading pretty soon. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello.
Hello. First of all, the woman that won the Nobel Peace Prize was duly elected as the president of Venezuela, and it's the present leadership of Venezuela that's denying her rightful seat that she won legitimately. That's one of the reasons why the Nobel Peace Prize people in Oslo handed her the Nobel Peace Prize to bring her plight. And she's held up in her house. Maduro is holding her prisoner in her own home, and that's why she's the duly elected person. The other reason why we want to get rid of Maduro is because he's running drugs into the United States at a high, high level, and we've been taking out those drug boats, and everyone claims they're fishing boats, but I don't see any nets. I don't see any fishing rods.
How can you see anything? Because the things have been blown to bits.
No, you see it right before the missile hits. They're loaded down with neatly wrapped up packages all over the deck of the boat. Right before the missiles hit, you can see there's no nets. And then there's like $70,000 worth of outboard motors on the back of a high-tech outboard motors. What Venezuelan fisherman is going to put $70,000? Because I know a little
You know what? And that may all be true. But no, you don't know what's true. This is what you're assuming, as I'm assuming, because I'm sitting here. And that's all the more reason, if they really are running drugs, to bring those boats in to prove it. Yeah, we don't blow people up here in the United States for running drugs.
Well, we should.
But, really?
Yes, I think we should. Because drugs have caused so much heartache and mass murder.
So one mass murder is good enough.
We should have a war against drugs and stop throwing these terms around without
consequence. Don't you think if you do that, then we never know for sure if they are running drugs?
You know, you think that the Navy and sees a boat speeding across the Caribbean, and they say, oh, what the hell, I think that came from Venezuela. They probably have reconnaissance photographs watching a truck pull up at the pier, watching multiple individuals load neatly bundled packages of drugs into the hull of the boat, one after the other. They probably have all kinds of intelligence. The Venezuelan people are being held prisoner by Maduro, and they're probably getting all kinds of intel pouring in of these. You're very naive to think that for a moment that we're just, there's a speedboat. Let's just blow it out of the water. You don't think they have intelligence? You don't think they're doing their work preemptively to see these?
I'm going to answer your question. I've watched this government say that they're going to go after the worst of the worst, and they haven't been going after just the worst of the worst. So I think, As a due process, you at least wait till they get into U.S. waters before you try to apprehend the boat and prove your point. So that is what that's what naive Brian thinks.
You're welcome. With that, I'll let you go.
Thank you. Yes, that is what naive Brian thinks. By the way, that's pretty much what the world thinks. That's what international courts would say if they had a say in this particular case. And as far as Maduro holding a hostage this woman, I'm not doubting that. And quite frankly, that's a Venezuelan problem. That is not a United States of America problem. Look, there are people being held here. Do you want folks from outside of the United States trying to overthrow our government? Good luck to them for trying. But you want them overthrowing our government because we think it's okay to overthrow another? That's naive Brian talking, all right? If it works for one, do not be surprised if somebody else tries it against us. And by the way, as we think about overthrowing Maduro and putting in whomever, I know who this woman is. I don't remember her name, three different names. What happened when we went into Iraq and we helped to overthrow Saddam Hussein? Has Iraq really recovered from the United States of America being there for 8 or 9 years? No. Has Afghanistan recovered? And remember our exit out of Afghanistan? Has Afghanistan recovered? I can name a few other places, but I'll just leave it at that. All right, I'll throw Panama in there. I think they have recovered after some 40 years, but it took a while for Panama to recover. So the track record of the United States getting involved, Haiti, getting involved is not that great. So you might think it's okay to replace Maduro. You might even think it's okay to blow these boats out of the water. But until you can prove, you know, and if you listen to the caller, you will notice that he said, they probably have. That tells me he doesn't know for sure. And I don't know for sure. And you don't know for sure. That's why we should stop these boats. We've got the technology. Stop the boats and bring the goods to a court of law and let the courts make that decision. And the best way to do it is to follow that boat until it gets, you know, trace it from up above, follow it into U.S. waters, and at that particular time, you apprehend the boat. Now you've got a for sure that they're heading to the United States from way to hell down in Venezuela. Now, as far as the drugs go, and I think we played a few cuts the other day from the journalist Camila Escalante, who stated that it's not that Venezuela doesn't have drugs or even runs drugs, but their real point of entry is not to go to the United States. Most of the drugs come from Colombia. Colombia doesn't use Venezuela, they use Ecuador, and they usually use the Pacific route. Same thing with the fentanyl. We've heard about the fentanyl also coming from Venezuela. We never heard about fentanyl in Venezuela prior to the past 3 or 4 months. We never heard about that. We always heard about China and Mexico. So do I question? Yes, this naive person is questioning. And I would say that would be a good thing for you to do, too. Because it's one thing to have full faith in this president of the United States. He's the same president that told one story and lost in court. You might say, well, who gives a rat's, you know what, about the case he lost? But I think it leads to the point that he has been known to stretch the truth. And so with that note, I say, yeah, prove it to us. You've got Marco Rubio down there trying to convince the president, and I guess successfully thus far, that we need to take over for Maduro. Wait. If you listen to some of these people who call in that think it's okay to overthrow Maduro, it's their country. My guess, you know, and this is going to be like they probably, but here's my guess. The folks in Venezuela that are in Venezuela, that are loyal to Venezuela, they may not like Maduro. They may have to put up with his BS. But that doesn't mean they want another country coming in and trying to tell them how to run their affairs of state. And I think we would be misguided to believe that if we were to somehow send in troops, guerrillas, whatever, that there's not going to be some kind of fight. If we, the United States of America, have some kind of plan drawn up that says that within 100 days, they can get Maduro out of office. Well, maybe they can get Maduro out of office. It doesn't mean that they successfully plant somebody else in. And what I mean by successfully is this. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to still be skirmishes, fights, people dying. And I certainly don't want U.S. troops in Venezuela. For what reason? Because we're trying to do a good thing? Really? If that's the case, we could be all over the globe. Oh, we are all over the globe. I keep on forgetting that. But is it about China? Is it about China and the oil? Is it about BRICS and their footprint? I asked the question the other day, and it's, you know, it's still out there for a question. And this question is, it's about, are we looking to overthrow a government because of the socialist agenda? Their socialist agenda, not ours. Because it seems that we, as a nation, we do business with other socialist nations. Hell, we do business with China and Russia. So I find it hard to believe that we need to overthrow Maduro. Maduro's already stated, hey, we can have the oil. So what's really here that the American people, and I'm hard-pressed to believe that the majority of Americans want to see us overthrow Maduro. Now, there may be people like the guy that called a little while ago who's all right with it, who's sure, because he knows a little bit about boats, that these are drug boats. Well, was he sure that one of the boats was a Colombian boat that we sank? Was he sure that the people from the other nation, I believe it was Colombia, were going to turn around and sue the United States for sinking that boat because they knew nothing about their family members being a part of any kind of drug running? So there's a lot at play here. And I think we need to find out if they're running drugs. Well, we've got them. They can be imprisoned. We don't just go out and kill people. And you heard the guy who called. We should kill drug runners here in this country. Now, that's taking law enforcement to the next degree. And my guess is he better hope that it's not one of his family members, because I think if it were, and I'm going to have to say I think because he's already said it's okay here, but if it was one of his family members running drugs, do you think that he'd want law enforcement to take hands and guns and just boom, 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 his family members?
Nothing is easier than to prove that something human has imperfections. I'm amazed how many people devote themselves to that task.
WBSM.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At Legitimate Business Funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Today.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams, and I want to share with you the role that diabetes has had in my family. I lost my grandmother at the early age of 64 due to complications with diabetes. She was warm, generous, and a constant encouragement for me to follow my heart. Did you know that African Americans experience chronic kidney disease at a rate that's 25% higher than white Americans? And we're almost four times more likely to develop kidney failure. Diabetes and high blood pressure are leading causes of kidney disease, which can result in kidney failure, needing dialysis, or a kidney transplant. The good news is that you have the power to check out how well your kidneys are doing and learn ways to prevent them from failing. So go to your doctor and get yourself checked out. Visit linkbylovetv.org to learn more. Get the facts, get checked, and get healthy.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
They're coming in healthcare. They're coming in food assistance. They're coming in housing assistance. We could drain that rainy day fund in a week.
I really get a little bit of a charge when Senator Rodericks talks about all the different ways that the rainy day fund can be drained down, except what's looking him right in the face at this particular time. The whole dilemma with food stamps, but all of those reasons that he gave right there are reasons why he doesn't want to part with any of that money for the food stamp. So, you know, federal government, keep doing what you're doing right now. And as far as Andrea Campbell goes, if she wants to get out there and bellyache that the federal government isn't giving any money, I would say turn around and look at your own state and look how much money is in that rainy day fund and talk to the governor and say, Governor, get the legislature to release some of this money if you really want the people to be fed. 50 degrees in Lakeville, 48 in Swansea, 49 in New Bedford. I'm Brian. We'll do.